them back there where they said staff only, and to make you sit out in the waiting room. I'm glad they can't make Jesus sit out there, because there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he's right there with them. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like for you to turn with us to the book of John, chapter number 19. We're ringing a little bit, Brother Keith. Thank you, brother. John chapter 19. I'm going to ask if you would please stand with us. We'll read the Word of God together. Beginning reading with verse number 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on the either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We pray, God, you'd refresh us with the Spirit of God today. Help us to see truth from your Word. And I pray, God, you'd give us the help that we so need today. God, I pray that Jesus would be exalted and your church would be edified today, instructed in the things of God. For these favors, we plead and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. A lot of verses there, but what the Lord has brought to my attention is how Jesus was crucified in the midst of those two thieves, and he looked across from just down from the cross, and he saw some of the ladies standing there, and he looked at one of the disciples, the one that was standing there, which would be John, and he said to John, he said to his mother about John, woman, behold thy son. Not saying to his mother, behold me, but behold John. In other words, saying to his mother, this ends our mother and son and mother relationship. And he doesn't even call her mother there, but he calls her woman. And he says, behold thy son. In other words, I'm going to be leaving you, but I'm going to make sure there's somebody there to take care of you. Amen. And then he says to John, to that disciple, he says, behold thy mother. In other words, not look at your own mother, but I want you to take my mother. Now I'm in this relationship with my mother. She's now woman to me. I'm going to go through a transaction here. I'm going to save her soul just like I'm saving all the souls of all sinners. Mary needed a Savior. And he says, I want you to behold thy mother. In other words, I want you to take her with you. And the Bible says, from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Today, I want us to look at this verse of Scripture. And I feel led of God to think on this thought, our own home. Jesus thought enough about the home of John, the beloved disciple, to send his own mother home with John. I want us to examine our own home. Now, I want to say to you that we all need a home. And there are some homes that you and I need to have. First of all, very quickly, you need to have a Christ-centered home or a Christian home. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 3 that you must be born again. I'm glad, thank God, that mom and dad were Christian people and raised me in a Christian home. But had they not, the gospel some way, somehow, would have crossed my path and Jesus would have been presented unto me. The Bible says, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Tells me everybody's going to get one chance to be saved. And I want to say, upon receiving Him as your Savior, if you are the only Christian in that home, it can be a Christ-centered home. You may be outnumbered, you may feel out-strengthened, but I want to say to you, my friend, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. And if you have made Christ your Lord, then you can have a Christ-centered home. Now, I would like to say this today about a Christ-centered home. Now that you base it upon Jesus Christ, your home should be a home with a lifelong commitment between husband and wife. You young people today, if you're here and you're dating, and one of these days in the future, you're going to be contemplating marriage. You'll go through the decision of a lifelong commitment. And you may say, I'm going to make a lifelong commitment, but not really think a whole lot about that lifelong commitment. The vows that you will partake of will say, till death do us part. Don't come meet back with me and tell me I'm not happy anymore. You ought to be, you ought to be so in knowledge that in your marriage vows, the word happy was not there. Every day will not be happy. If your preacher told you that, he might have told you a lie. Because I'm certain in your marriages that you've been married 50 years, guarantee you, you'll tell me, not every day's been happy. They some days been a lot better than other days in our marriage. When God created Adam, He made Eve from His side, not Steve, but He created Eve from His side. And now Adam and Eve, they've made a commitment together, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. It was a lifelong commitment until death did them part. Now I realize Gina's threatened to kill me a time or two, but I've still made it by the grace of God. And I realize there's been a time or two in your home that murder has certainly been thought of. But my friend, don't do it. It's a lifelong commitment, and you'd better not help shorten somebody else's days. You'll get a lot of trouble for that. But I want you to realize today that your home should be a Christ-centered home based on a lifelong commitment. And it should be based on love. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Turn with me there. Verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to say in any home that the husband is to initiate love. God created man, not woman, man in his own image. Therefore, man was created in the mere image of love because God is love. And it's up to the man to initiate love. And the woman, created from his side, she, my friend, will take the love that was initiated and reciprocate it. I rarely have seen a woman that has been loved properly by the husband that would not love back. If she won't, then my friend, she's not much of a woman. Amen? I believe with all my heart that the woman, she will submit herself to her husband if he love her properly. I have no problem submitting myself to Christ. Do you? And you know why I don't have a problem? Because he loves me unconditionally all the time. No matter what I do, whether I burn the bacon or not, whether I get off from work on time, whether I've done all the things that I want to make somebody else happy. Jesus loves me anyway. And that's not the way it is in our homes. It's not an unconditional love. I'll love you if you do this for me. What do you mean if? You stood at the marriage altar there and it was not about if. No. You took those vows pledging your love for that other person. And you, my friend, should love her and she will love and submit to you. But she's not going to submit to you if you don't love her. If you'd put her down, trample her under your feet, my friend, I wouldn't love you either. I mean, say it's just some people you have to work to love. Hey, man, preacher, I'm working to love this message. Hang on, we're going somewhere. Now, there are some lives that I see in the Christian home. Some lives in the Christian home. And let's make sure we get each one of these mentioned. Holding your hand here in Ephesians 5, let's back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's get the order of any Christian home. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 3. I want to say to you, sir, you may feel high and mighty that she's to submit to your authority in a household. God bless you. But I got a verse for you today. Besides just loving her right, you're not the head. You're not the head of the whole outfit. Jesus Christ is the head of the whole outfit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. You think you're running things, but my friend, Christ is in charge of all things. He is in charge of this church. You may say, preacher, I thought you as pastor would be in charge of the church. No, my job is to be an under-shepherd to make sure that the chief shepherd, the glorious shepherd, the good shepherd is in charge of the outfit. My job is to make sure nobody else runs it, amen, other than Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the man, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So the lives of the home will be a man and his wife, a husband and wife. That's a Christian home. Don't come tell me two men living together is a Christian home. No, not in God's plan. No, sir. God has not made a mistake on you. You have made a choice as to whether to serve Him or reject Him. And I want to say to you, there's a big difference between the God you think who is and the God who really is. Amen. In the home is the man. In the home is the woman. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and read verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But girls, I want to tell you, before you marry that boy, You make sure he loves you unconditionally. I'm telling you, you make sure he loves you. It's more than just a word. Love is an action. He'll love you when everybody else turns against you. That's what Christ expects the head of the household, the man, to be for his wife. To support her, to love her, and protect her. Every woman, fellas, wants to live in a secure environment. If you're at home threatening this and threatening that, and she feels insecure, my friend, she'll not submit nor love, right? She's going to run and flee because, my friend, she feels insecure. A lot of us fellas got a temper problem. Would to God that we'd just get it under the blood of Jesus and let His power take over in our life, that we'd learn to be peaceable with our families. Amen. I tell you, I really like what Brother Tony Bird said the other night. I mean, he wasn't talking about those things, but he stood up and said, I want the whole church to pray for me. Well, he said it for the whole church so I can repeat him. He said, I want the church to pray for me that I'd be the right kind of daddy that I ought to be. Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah.
That's what all of us ought to be in there praying Amen. For. That we'd be the right kind of daddy. Also in the home in chapter number 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. See that? There's a man and a woman, and then there's children in the home. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, youngins, look at me. Have you got a mama and daddy? You're still living in the home. You are to respect them, not to rebel on them. Now, there's a difference made. If they say don't go to church, then God's law supersedes mom and daddy's law. But only then, my friend, you're to obey your parents as children. I'm glad, thank God, to know that if the parents would treat the children right, we'd have a lot less troubles than we have. I've seen people pour out wrath and try to turn their children to wrath. It ain't no wonder youngins is wanting to beat their daddies up for the way they're treated. God help us in our homes that they become Christ-centered homes. Before you came here today, you left your home. What kind of environment did you leave? Was you fussing and fighting, stressing over running late, freaking out over your hair wouldn't curl right and deodorant was put on when it's still wet? I'm telling you, thanks be unto God, we need to get our homes in order. Then our churches will get in order.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say to you, turn back with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter number 6. I believe if we'd live in Christ-centered homes, knowing that the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There ain't no liberty in our homes anymore because we don't want the Spirit of God there and welcome Him there. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You think that only means for the church service. I want to say to you, it represents your home. If the Spirit of the Lord's in the home, there'll be liberty in the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God's saying here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, that I want you to teach your children the Word of God. Don't just show them and tell them to go to church. Go yourself. Go with them. You take them. You teach them faithfulness, not just by saying get faithful. You do it. That's how you teach them to be faithful. Amen?
Amen.
You and I need to... When's the last time? I'm going to ask you, Mom and Daddy, something. When's the last time you sat down with your children and you read to them the Word of God? When's the last time, youngins, when was the last time, and don't you raise your hands, wave at me, when's the last time you remember your mom or daddy sitting down to read the Word of God to you? You may say, well, we ain't got time for that. Well, ain't it amazing? You can get them to the ball game and they'll never miss a practice. You can get them to Walmarts for the good deals that's down there. You can get them to the malls. You can get them to all the theaters you want to take them to. You just go right ahead. But what is it you're teaching and training them? You're not teaching them the Word of God. You're teaching them Ashville Mall. You're teaching them goodies. You're teaching them JCPenney's and belts. And I'm not against all those things, but I'm for the Word of God. And I think we ought to spend some time in the Word of God. I'm not talking 24 hours a day. I'm just asking you, when's the last time you sat down for 30 seconds? Well, we prayed. I don't count. I mean, when's the last time you sat down to read the Word of God? Together. I'm telling you, it's red hot in here this morning, ain't it? Some of you youngins know Mom and Daddy ain't reading to you. You know what y'all do? Y'all go get the Bible and just say, would you read this to me? My little boy, before he could read, get us all these little books and say, read me this book before I go to bed. Read me a bedtime story. And is this fairy tale and that fairy tale? And now he brings us the Bible. Amen. He says, read me this. I want to know about that. Well, glory to God, that's what ought to be going on in our homes.
Amen.
Training them up about Jesus. Some of you parents is worried because your children ain't sitting with you today. And you're kind of looking across the room to find out, are they going to stick their hand up and say, I've not read to them? You're under conviction right now. Wanda, God, if you are, you need to make sure that you start, make a commitment to teach them the precepts of the Word of God. I'm asking, do you have a Christ-centered home? Are the things on your wall, the things laying on your coffee table, or is it a Christ-centered home? Do you know you're even a Christian if the preacher come to your house? Kind of home you need is a Christ-centered home. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The second kind of home you need is you need a church home. You need a church home. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to ask you, do you have a church to call home? I mean, affiliation with the local church. Did you know the local church provides instruction for the home?
Amen.
The local church is the protector of the home. Before there was a church, there was a home. And I want to say to you, thanks be unto God that I settled years and years ago after I got saved, that I want to be involved with a church home. I don't be a hobo, bounce around from here, there to yonder. I want to find a church home. And yes, you may say, well, I don't believe in preacher religion. Let me tell you something, friend. You want to go down there to the steakhouse? And if they won't serve you something good to eat, will you go back next time? I mean, if you come to the house of God and the preacher's not shelling the corn, not feeding your soul, will you come back? I wouldn't. I'd go somewhere where I'd get fed. I'd want somebody that's going to stand on the Word of God, uncompromised, and teach my family what I'm teaching them at home. That's what I want in a church home. I want to have fellowship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we recognize when the Spirit of God blows through that there's people here that recognizes that, and my friend, are willing to be humble and obedient to the things of God. You need a church home, one that fears God and wants to serve God. You need to be affiliated with a church home. For some of you, you've been sick, gone through a tough time. Who was it come by to visit but your church friends and loved ones? Who was it had you on their prayer list? It was a church, amen, that was praying. And I want to say to you, I challenge you to get involved. Join the church that stands on the promises of the Word of God. 1 Timothy. Yeah, we turn to a lot of scriptures, but it's my proven ground. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, speaking of the church, the Bible says at the end of that verse, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Not only is the church the protector of the home and the one that provides instructions for the home, but the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Don't you get in some flip-flop outfit that says we're a church that is not the pillar and ground of truth. If they're not standing on the truth of the Word of God, then that's not a church. Well, they call themselves a church, yeah. There's a lot of churches say that they worship at 11 o'clock, but they don't. They just meet at 11 o'clock. But they don't worship. They meet to fuss and fight and find fault with one another. I want to say to you, we need to worship Jesus Christ, and you as an individual need to be affiliated with a church home. If you don't have a church home, we'd be tickled to death to see you here. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you want to go to the church up the road or the church down the road, I'd recommend them to you. There's some men of God that are preaching the Word of God behind the pulpit, and I appreciate them. And we're in the same field together. We're not competing one with another. We are working together to evangelize the world, to win the lost, and edify, mean teach, and instruct the church. I'm asking you, do you have a church home? Well, I come to church here. Have you joined the church here? I mean, you'd have a right to vote on things and see, have a say in how things go, following the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, you'll feel more complete in Him when you have a church home. I mean a real church home. I appreciate this church. I'm glad and thrilled to death to be the pastor of the Bethel Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm thrilled that I'm a part of a local church that wants to go out and win folks to the Lord and sees visitors and will go and welcome them and praise God to see sinners get saved. That's what I want to be involved with. Y'all ever turn from that, I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else where they want to love God and serve Him. And I'd suggest you do the same, friend. We need a church home. Last of all, in the book of John, chapter 14, know this about the church. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil hates the home, trying to rob you of your home. And he hates the church, but the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You need, my friend, a Christ-centered home. You need to find you a church home and settle down there. Last of all, you need a celestial home. John 14, the Bible says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. The only way you're going to have a heavenly home is through Jesus Christ. And if you've been saved, hallelujah, don't it feel good to know that we've got a home on the other side? I've not even laid my eyes on it yet, but I've got a home, hallelujah, on the other side. Now you hear me as I'm ready to close today in Revelations chapter number 21. Revelations 21. Let's just read a couple of verses about our home and we'll go back to the house. Amen. Revelations 21, verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hey, your earthly home, you may cry in it. In this church home, you may cry in it. But in your heavenly home, no tears will ever be there. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, that sounds like home. Hallelujah. And I'm on my way. What about chapter 22? The Bible says in verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Verse 5, there shall be no more night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'm glad God, when He saved me, has given me a celestial home. It's a prepared place
for a prepared people.
Amen.
Do you have a Christ-centered home? My friend, do you have a church home? My friend, do you have that celestial home? Joshua said this, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Just before that, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You can make a choice about what kind of home you've got. You can choose to have a Christ-centered home. You can choose to have a church home. You can choose to have a celestial home in heaven's bright city. Hallelujah. You stand with me this morning. Your head's bowed, nobody looking, very quickly. Might say, "Preacher, today, I desire that my home on earth would be a Christ-centered home. And I failed Him there. And I need His help getting things straightened to where they need to be." Does anybody need to step this way toward the altar about that and seek His face? Bless you. Bless you. You and you. You just continue to come. Sister, if you'd come play. You just come on, mind the Lord. Maybe it is you need to get your wife, that one you love, been married all these years, and get her and say, "Honey, I'm going to pray with you. I want our home to be a Christ-centered home more than it has ever been. And I want to pray." Maybe you children need to come, bow on your face before God and say, "My desire is to have a Christ-centered home." You may say, "Preacher, I'm the only one saved where I live." Then what's your desire? Is your desire to see mom and dad saved? Grandma and grandpa saved? Won't you slip this altar and say, "Lord, my desire is to see my family saved. I'd like to see a Christ-centered home. And I want to serve you right, talk right, do right, act right. Maybe I could be a witness to mom and dad, my friends and loved ones. I want a Christ-centered home." Maybe today you'd say, "I want a church home. Well, I want to feel the peace of God when I come to church. And I've been searching, looking for a place. Lord, I'm coming down to this altar today to pray about it. God, give me a church home, one that we can serve God in. And God, take all the hurts away and help us just to see you." Who is it that needs to come bow on this altar? Maybe there's somebody say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I won't be saved. I want a celestial home." Age 12, this last week, God's preparing them a mansion. Hallelujah. Saved their soul. Now they got a home. Hallelujah. On the other side. Father, this morning as we bow, Father, we reflect on the fact this altar's full. People bowed down the aisles. Husbands, wives, young people and old alike. God, see the children land this altar. Say, "I want a Christ-centered home. I want to learn more about Jesus." God, I pray, if you don't hear my prayer, anybody else's, Lord, hear theirs. Lord, I pray, Father, for this people today. Oh, that Christ would be the very center, the very midst of our homes, Lord. Forgive us where you failed us, where we failed you of that. God, I pray that you would touch us by your power. Help us to be fine daddies and mamas, only as you would have us to be. Lord, we confess to you how we failed you miserably in that respect. And Lord, I pray today for a fresh slate, a clean start. God, I pray for the children today. Keep them safe. Thank you for this good number of them that's singing this morning. I don't know all the homes they come from, but I pray, God, you'd deal with whoever tries to hurt them. The Bible says it'd be better that a millstone would be hanging about their neck and be cast in the depths of the sea than for them to offend one of these little ones. God, I pray for the church today that, God, it'd be a place of peace. God, I pray you'd touch your church today. Help us that Christ would be preached. Sinners would be saved. Saints would be edified. Oh, today, Father, I pray, God, for the blessings as only you can give us. God, we just ask these favors. Thanking you for our home. We didn't get to pick what home when we were born that we were born into. You just assigned us that. However, Lord, we did need to choose about being saved and our heavenly home. And it'll certainly be worth it after a while. We thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You've been thinking about joining a church, I want you to prayerfully consider right here at Bethel. If you feel led to go somewhere else, friend, that'll be fine too. Next Sunday, we're going to open the doors of the church. Might be somebody next Sunday you want to join. You may say, preacher, I'd like to join today. I'll open the doors this morning if you want to come. We'd be thrilled to have you. Amen. We'll do it again next Sunday. I will give you time to pray about it and know the will of God for your life. Amen. Hey, you know what? If I don't see you anymore on this side, we never meet like this again. If you're saved today, I'll meet you at the house.
Amen. Amen.
I can't wait to see what your mansion's going to look like. I got a feeling it's going to look quite like mine. We're going to be happy over there.
Amen.
You girls don't have no more dusting to do. I don't think dust is even welcome there. No more doors to lock. Hallelujah. Praises. No more gravel. Amen. Streets of gold. Bless his name. All hearts and minds clear this morning. I do need to meet with the Sunday school teachers. I understand. But do need to meet with you and our superintendents, please. For about 3 to 5 minutes. Preacher, there ain't no way. I promise you. If you'll meet with me right now, 3 to 5 minutes, I'll send you to the house. Thank you, brother. We need to take the building fund today. If our ushers would come to the front, please.